Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
Loved ones, if you turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2, or if you're following on the YouVersion app, you can follow along there. In fact, this is one of the last times that you're going to be instructed to turn to the YouVersion app, because we're pretty close to launching our Cornerstone Foursquare Church app, and then you're going to have lots of access to kind of where we're able to communicate with one another, and the sermon notes will be on there, and the live stream, those kinds of things. But for today, we're still at YouVersion. Philippians chapter 2, I was going to cover the entire chapter, and I found myself not having the ability to do that in the time that we have this morning. But it's not just a time issue, it's when we come to some verses here, I felt like we just need to stop. We can't rush on, we can't move forward. When it talks about Jesus and what he has done, and we're going to conclude our morning together, not in a closing song, but in a time of worship. As we're reminded of what Jesus has done. A couple weeks ago, we talked about Philippians chapter 1 and walked through the service. And I'm so glad that people are sitting all over. But we do as well have the cheaper seats, if you're interested. We have some right over, way over here in the corner on the aisle. So, Pastor Chris, we continue to be praying for your healing. We're so glad, wheelchair and all, that you're here. And we sure love you. Hey, it was a couple weeks ago I talked about the walk through Philippians chapter 1. And essentially I said this, God is at work among you. It's that verse where in chapter 1, verse 6, Paul will write and say, being confident of this very thing, that he has begun a good work in you. And we looked at how that in you wasn't individual only, but it was really among the church. He has begun a good work among you, will complete it to the day of Jesus Christ. Paul was rejoicing that Christ was being preached, whether for under false pretenses or not. He was just celebrating that Jesus was being preached, that the message was going forth. And then he would say things like, I just want Christ to be magnified in me, whether in my life or in my death, may Jesus be magnified. And he'll talk to the church in Philippi and he'll say, you know, even in my presence or in my absence, you need to be consistent with your faith. And we concluded just the last phrase, and he said, and reminding the church in Philippi, the Philippians, saying, and remember, you've been given a gift. God has given you a gift. And it's a funny word, this gift, because it's associated with these two things, the gift to believe on him and also the gift to suffer with him. As if you remember, Paul's writing from a Roman jail cell to the church in Philippi, where he started the church there from being in a Philippian jail cell after being beaten. And his response was a moment of worship, him and Silas. We saw God save a Philippian jailer and his household, how the gospel had come to Philippi. But in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, it says this. Therefore, if there's any consolation or encouragement in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, of any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, one mind. This is his instruction to the church. This is an instruction to us today. Let nothing be done. Let nothing be done. Let nothing, not one thing, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Paul starts this section and says, if there be, which is phrased in such a way, it's not, well, if there is, go ahead, and if there's not, don't worry about it. He's saying, if there be, because there is, since there is. He's not doubtful, but rather he's calling to them to what he's about to say, because this exists. And he's not talking about that these things exist among them. And he's not talking to the church and saying, if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort of love, those kinds of things among you. He's talking about his relationship with them, because we have this. Because we have encouragement in the Spirit, because we have the comfort of love, because we have fellowship, because we have affection. Essentially saying, because these things exist, I need you to listen to me. I've got a voice into what I'm about to tell you. Listen to my voice when I tell you this, and when you fulfill what I say, it is going to bring me such joy. It is going to light me up. because we have this relationship, because we have in Christ this encouragement, this fellowship in the Spirit, because we have this, I'm going to ask you to do some things. And as I ask you, as you fulfill this, I couldn't be happier. I couldn't be happier. What a pastoral heart. It's this point of we're really in this together, but we need to not only be in it together with our hearts, but he brings us to this point and he says we need to be together. We need to be agreed in our minds. We have the heart. Now we have to make sure we have the same mindset. Be like-minded, the same love. It means being in agreement. Do you remember in the book of Acts when it talks about the disciples were gathered together after Jesus had ascended and it said they were in the same place, but not only were they in the same room, they were in one accord. They were in agreement. And that's what Paul's saying is to these Philippians, we need to be in agreement. We need to have the same mind. And that has to do with not only having the same purpose, but being purposeful. It's being intentional. It's being determined. The same mind doesn't just happen. It's a choice. And he's reminding them of that. There may be other thoughts. There may be other perspectives. Let's put those aside. Let's be agreed on this. There's a power in agreement. It'll be value-based. It'll be priority-based. This is what is important, and he reminds them of these things. In these verses, he says this, don't be self-promoting. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. Not one thing. Do not be self-promoting. Do not be self-advancing. Do not be self-serving. Instead, simply be serving. Not serving yourself, but instead just serving. Don't be self-promoting. Don't be self-advancing. Don't be just looking out for yourself. And we get the impression as Paul writes this book of Philippians, probably the most tender and pastoral epistle that he writes to a group of people. Certainly writes tenderly to his son in the faith, Timothy, but to this group of people, this letter to the church in Philippi, it's that we have to be together. We have to be of the same mind. We need to be cooperating, not competing or criticizing or complaining. And a little later, he's going to talk about do everything without complaining. And we'll talk about that in the weeks that come. But Jesus prayed this, Father, that they would be one. One mind, one heart. They would be one. Nothing. When he says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, he's sitting in a prison cell while the guys outside are preaching Jesus to their advantage. Not to have to face the imprisonment that he's facing, but out of selfish motivation and conceit. He says, but don't be like that. In all lowliness, it means humility. Lowliness of mind, humility. Do not have lofty thoughts about yourself. Well, hello. Don't be like that. But esteem others better than yourself and look out not only for your own interests, but the interests of others. Sometimes it's hard. We can trip a little. We can stumble because of the language of the Bible, of how we have here in the Greek language words and meanings, and we have so many different versions of the Bible, and they will say different things because we've taken the Greek words and interpreted. Some words can have multiple meanings, and sometimes our English words, we have a connection or a connotation to the word, and we think it means just one thing. And it's the reason why I pause and say that is because it's about the word esteem. Let you esteem others better than yourself. And it's this phrase, esteeming. It really means, and it's certainly we want to make sure that we value it and understand that people have worth. But the word esteem, it has to do with letting you go first. It has to do with leadership. It has to do with control. That's kind of the connection of that word, esteeming. It's someone having control, someone having the lead. It's allowing others to go first. And he'll even phrase that. It is saying that people are important, but we don't say, you're more important than me. How does that work? You're more important than me. It's not some self-deprecating thing. What we're saying is it's more important for you to go before me. I don't need to be first. What's really important is I want to allow you to go first. because we're all important, we're all valued, we're all precious in God's sight. It's not a competition. It's not like he loves everyone, but I'm his favorite. You know, it's not that kind of phrasing. It's we are all loved. We're all deeply loved and cherished and valued and have such intrinsic worth because we're created in his image. But it's this esteem others better than yourself. Let them go first. You go first. And yet it's these next seven verses that stopped me. And here we're going to pause in our service. And in a few moments, we're just going to enter a time of worship and loving Jesus for what he's done. But watch these next seven verses. I don't know how to explain. I hope you can hear this. In my limited ability to communicate, I get that. I don't know how to communicate how important this is and how we need to stop here. There's not a time when I'm talking to any one of my children, Doug, Robin, or Emily, Dawn, when I'm talking to them on the phone, when we hang up, Audrey, that we don't say, I love you. Okay, well, I love you, bye. I love you, bye. I love you, bye. It doesn't matter. Doug is a teenage boy, as a young man, no matter what friends are around, whatever. Okay, Dad, love you, bye. Not a time. But then there are times when I look at my kids and I say, you need to hear this. You need to know this. And I'll look at them in their face and say, I love you. I love you. And it's this moment with this text that we're about to look at. Some of you will be able to quote the text. Some of you will be very familiar with the text and be able to recite it or recite portions of it or have heard it many, many times because it's such a precious, precious verses. But it's this moment where I hope the Holy Spirit can just take us and say, you need to hear this now. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, verse 5 says. There's a difference. Let this mind, don't let our thoughts run rampant at this moment. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Romans tells us not to be pressed into the image of this world, not to be conformed to the image of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind that we're going to be able to prove and understand and walk in God's will. It's this renewing of our mind. And Paul writes to the church in Philippi and he writes to the church in Calgary. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Verse 6. Who being in the form of God, did not consider robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And it's there we pause. Paul is talking about this mindset that Jesus had. Jesus knew who he was. And it says, Jesus, who being in the form of God, and it's this phrase, the form of God. What does that mean? It's a word that's found here, and it's only found one other place in Scripture. It's found in Mark's Gospel. When Mark's talking about what happens in Luke and the road to Emmaus, that Jesus appeared to two people and he didn't look like Jesus. It's that word, he didn't look like it. It has everything to do with the outward appearance. Who being in the form of God, who looked like God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. And that word robbery, sometimes we think, you know, we were taking something that's not ours, we're thieving. But really, it has to do with hanging on to something and grasping it and not letting it go. So some other versions outside of the King James, New King James, will phrase this better. Not considering it something to cling on to grasp on to hang on to. Not considering it, saying, mine. Instead of grabbing what was not his, he released what was his. That Jesus, who being in the form of God, Jesus who looked like God, did not consider it robbery to be equal, did not say, I've got to hang on to that appearance. The form of God. And that's why Paul writes in these next verses, he keeps focusing on appearance. He'll talk about the outward appearance, the form of a servant, the likeness of man, being found as an appearance as a man. But we could understand the text like this, and just allow me to paraphrase. Jesus, even though he looked like God, he didn't need to keep looking like God. Instead, he let all that go in order to look like us, to serve us. He humbled himself. He became obedient to the Father to the very end. And Paul's not just writing about appearances. And when I say he looked like God, of course he was God. We understand that. He didn't only appear to look like God. And he didn't just appear to look like a man. But that's what he's talking about, these appearances. He became human. He didn't just appear to be humble. He was humble. He didn't just appear to be obedient. He became obedient. And Paul is simply showing the church in Philippi, he looked like this, and now he looked like this. This is the change that happened. Let this mind be in you, not just for appearance sake, but this is what things now need to look like. We are not called to just look like servants. We are called to be servants. We are not called to just look humble. We are called to be humble. We are not called to just look obedient, but rather to be obedient to the Father to the very end. And so we too don't hang our reputation or hang on to our reputation of who we are and what we deserve. Instead, we lay that aside to serve people. Paul writes this. He essentially says, if what we have is real, this love and this encouragement, this comfort, this affection, he writes to the church in Philippi, if we really are in this together, then fulfill my joy by not being selfish, but by looking out for one another. And if you need an example, Paul doesn't point to himself, he points to Jesus. He says, if you don't know how to do that, look at Jesus, your example. Know who you are. And instead of that being a reason of preventing you from serving, let that be a catalyst. Let that be the reason why you serve. In humility as a servant, obediently, following Jesus to the very end, because you are so secure in not only who you are, but whose you are. You are a child of the King. And Jesus gave it all up, set aside his glory, and he came to us as us, in humility and in obedience, giving his life for us, obedient to the end, to the very end. But you know, that wasn't the end. That wasn't the end. I'm going to ask the worship team to go ahead and come. That wasn't the end. When he left and set aside his glory and he came, born of a woman, that wasn't the end. When he came and was born in a cave, born in a manger, laid in a trough, that wasn't the end. When he grew up as a little boy, he learned to walk and talk, that wasn't the end. As he was baptized by John, that wasn't the end. As he began his ministry, that wasn't the end. When he laid it all aside and he came to us, it wasn't the end. As he began his ministry and as he healed the sick and as he even raised the dead, that wasn't the end. As he taught us and as he led, and as he showed us a different way, that wasn't the end. And as he endured the betrayal and the arrest, as he endured the standing before Pilate and standing before Herod, that wasn't the end. And as no one took his life, but he gave his life freely, wasn't the end. When God became man, and gave his life and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he yielded up his spirit, and he breathed his last and said, it is finished. That just wasn't the end. When this spear went into his side, when they took him down off the cross, when they put him in the tomb, and there he lay dead and buried, it wasn't the end. And on the third day, when he rose triumphing over death, hell, and the grave, when he appeared to Mary, when he appeared to the disciples, when he stood before them and said, all authority has been given unto me. Therefore you go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe the things I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. That wasn't the end. When he ascended to the Father, to the right hand of the Father, that wasn't the end. When he left, when he sent his Holy Spirit to empower, to fill us, that we might commission, that we might respond to his commission, that wasn't the end. Because Paul goes on to say, therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven, those on earth, and those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That every tongue should confess of those in heaven, those on earth, and those under the earth. Those who believe and those who don't believe. Those who are for and those who are against. Every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.